17.
If only the terrorist religion and belief in the anticipation hadn't spread beyond our people.
The piles of paper seemed to multiply as Vin found more and more ideas in the logbook that she wanted to isolate and remember. What were the prophecies about the Hero of Ages? How did the logbook author know where to go? And what did he think he'd have to do when he got there? Eventually, lying amid the mess, overlapping piles turned in odd directions to keep them separate, Vin acknowledged a distasteful fact. She was going to have to take notes. With a sigh, she rose and crossed the room, stepping carefully over several stacks and approaching the room's desk. She'd never used it before. In fact, she'd complained about it to Elland. What need did she have of a writing desk? So she'd thought. She selected a pen, then pulled out a little jar of ink, remembering the days when Reen had taught her to write. He'd quickly grown frustrated with her scratchings, complaining about the cost of ink and paper. He'd taught her to read so that she could decipher contracts and imitate a noblewoman. But he'd thought that writing was less useful. In general, Vin shared this opinion. Apparently, however, writing had uses even if one wasn't a scribe. Elland was always scribbling notes and memos to himself. She'd often been impressed by how quickly he could write. How did he make the letters come so easily? She grabbed a couple of blank sheets of paper and walked back over to her sorted piles. She sat down with crossed legs and unscrewed the top of the ink bottle.
"Mistress," Orsure noted, still lying with his paws before him. "You do realize that you just left the writing desk behind to sit on the floor?"
Vin looked up.
"And?" "The purpose of a writing desk is, well, writing."
"But my papers are all over here."
"Papers can be moved, I believe. If they prove too heavy, you could always burn pewter to give yourself more strength."
Vin eyed his amused face as she inked the nib of her pen. "Well, at least he's displaying something other than his dislike of me." "The floor is more comfortable."
"If you say so, mistress, I will believe it to be true."
She paused, trying to determine if he was still mocking her or not. "Blasted dog's face," she thought. "Too hard to read." With a sigh, she leaned down and began to write out the first word. She had to make each line precisely so that the ink didn't smudge, and she had to pause often to sound out words and find the right letters. She'd barely written a couple of sentences before a knock came at her door. She looked up with a frown. Who was bothering her?
"Come in,"
she called. She heard a door open in the other room, and Ellen's voice called out, "Vin?"
"In here,"
she said, turning back to her writing.
"Why did you knock?"
"Well, you might have been changing," he said, entering.
"So?"
Vin asked. Elland chuckled.
2 years and privacy is still a strange concept to you."
Vin looked up.
"Well, I did."
For just the briefest flash of a moment, she thought he was someone else. Her instincts kicked in before her brain, and she reflexively dropped the pen, jumping up and flaring pewter. Then she stopped.
"That much of a change, eh?"
Elland asked, holding out his arms so she could get a better look at his costume. Vin put a hand to her chest, so shocked that she stepped right on one of her stacks. It was Elland, but it wasn't. The brilliant white costume, with its sharp lines and firm figure, looked so different from his normal loose jacket and trousers. He seemed more commanding, more regal.
"You cut your hair,"
she said, walking around him slowly, studying the costume.
"Tyndall's idea," he said. "What do you think?"
"Less for people to grab onto in a fight," Vin said.
Elland smiled.
"Is that all you think about?"
"No,"
Vin said absently, reaching up to tug his cape. It came free easily, and she nodded approvingly. Mist cloaks were the same. Elland wouldn't have to worry about someone grabbing his cape in a fight. She stepped back, arms folded.
"Does this mean I can cut my hair too?"
Ellen paused just briefly. You're always free to do what you want, Vin. But I kind of think it's pretty longer.
It stays, then.
Anyway, Ellen said, you approve?
Definitely, Vin said. You look like a king.
Though she suspected a part of her would miss the tangle-haired, disheveled Ellen. There had been something endearing about that mixture of earnest competence and distracted inattention. Good, Ellen said, because I think we're going to need the advantage. A messenger just... He trailed off, looking over her stacks of paper.
Vin? Were you doing research?
Vin flushed. I was just looking through the logbook, trying to find references to the deepness.
You were!
Ellen stepped forward excitedly. To her chagrin, he quickly located the paper with her fledgling notes on it. He held the paper up, then looked over at her.
Did you write this?
Yes, she said.
Your penmanship is beautiful, he said, sounding a bit surprised.
Why didn't you tell me you could write like this?
Didn't you say something about a messenger?
Ellen put the sheet back down, looking oddly like a proud parent.
Right. A messenger from my father's army has arrived. I'm making him wait for a bit. It didn't seem wise to appear too eager. But we should probably go meet with him.
Vin nodded, waving to Orsure. The Chandra rose and padded to her side, and the three of them left her quarters. That was one nice thing about books and notes. They could always wait for another time. They found the messenger waiting in the third-floor venture atrium. Vin and Ellen walked in, and she stopped immediately.
It was him. The Watcher.
Ellen stepped forward to meet the man, and Vin grabbed his arm.
Wait, she hissed quietly.
Ellen turned, confused.
If that man has Atium, Vin thought with a stab of panic, Ellen is dead. We're all dead.
The Watcher stood quietly. He didn't look much like a messenger or courier. He wore all black, even a pair of black gloves. He wore trousers and a silken shirt with no cloak or cape. She remembered that face. It was him.
But, she thought, if he'd wanted to kill Ellen, he could have done so already.
The thought frightened her, yet she had to admit it was true.
What? Ellen asked, standing in the doorway with her. Be careful, she whispered. This is no simple messenger. That man is Mistborn.
Ellen paused, frowning. He turned back toward the Watcher, who stood quietly, clasping his hands behind his back, looking confident. Yes, he was Mistborn. Only a man such as he could walk into an enemy palace completely surrounded by guards and not be the slightest bit unsettled.
All right, Ellen said, finally stepping into the room. Straff's man. You bring a message for me?
Not just a message, Your Majesty, the Watcher said. My name is Zane, and I am something of an ambassador. Your father was very pleased to receive your invitation for an alliance. He's glad that you are finally seeing reason.
Vin studied the Watcher, this Zane. What was his game? Why come himself? Why reveal who he was? Ellen nodded, keeping a distance from Zane.
Two armies, Ellen said, camped outside my door. Well, that's not the kind of thing I can ignore. I'd like to meet with my father and discuss possibilities for the future.
I think he would enjoy that, Zane said. It has been some time since he saw you, and he has long regretted your falling out. You are, after all, his only son.
It's been hard on both of us, Ellen said. Perhaps we could set up a tent in which to meet outside the city?
I'm afraid that won't be possible, Zane said. His Majesty rightly fears assassins. If you wish to speak with him, he'd be happy to host you at his tent in the Venture Camp.
Elland frowned. No, I don't think that makes much sense. If he fears assassins, shouldn't I?
I'm certain he could protect you in his own camp, Your Majesty, Zane said. You have nothing to fear from Set's assassins there.
I see, Elland said.
I'm afraid that His Majesty was quite firm on this point, Zane said. You are the one who is eager for an alliance. If you wish a meeting, you will have to come to him.
Ellen glanced at Vin. She continued to watch Zane. The man met her eyes and spoke.
I have heard reports of the beautiful Mistborn who accompanies the Venture heir. She who slew the Lord Ruler and was trained by the survivor himself.
There was silence in the room for a moment. Ellen finally spoke.
Tell my father that I will consider his offer.
Zane finally turned away from Vin.
His Majesty was hoping for us to set a date and time, Your Majesty.
I will send another message when I have made my decision, Ellen said.
Very well, Zane said,
bowing slightly, though he used the move to catch Vin's eyes once again. Then he nodded once to Elland, and let the guards escort him away. In the cold mist of early evening, Vin waited on the short wall of Keep Venture, Orsure sitting at her side. The mists were quiet. Her thoughts were far less serene.
Who else would he work for, she thought. Of course he's one of Straff's men.
That explained many things. It had been quite a while since their last encounter. Vin had begun to think that she wouldn't see the Watcher again. Would they spar again, then? Vin tried to suppress her eagerness, tried to tell herself that she simply wanted to find this Watcher because of the threat he posed. But the thrill of another fight in the mists, another chance to test her abilities against a Mistborn, made her tense with anticipation. She didn't know him, and she certainly didn't trust him. That only made the prospect of a fight all the more exciting.
Why are we waiting here, mistress? Orsure asked.
We're just on patrol, Vin said, watching for assassins or spies, just like every night.
Do you command me to believe you, mistress?
Vin shot him a flat stare.
Believe as you wish, Chandra.
Very well, Orsure said. Why did you not tell the king that you've been sparring with this Zane?
Vin turned back toward the dark mists.
Assassins and allomancers are my concern, not Ellen's. No need to worry him yet. He has enough troubles at the moment.
Orsure sat back on his haunches.
I see.
You don't believe I'm right?
I believe as I wish, Orsure said. Isn't that what you just commanded me, mistress?
Whatever, Vin said.
Her bronze was on, and she had to try very hard not to think about the mist spirit. She could feel it waiting in the darkness to her right. She didn't look toward it.
The logbook never did mention what became of that spirit. It nearly killed one of the hero's companions. After that, there was barely a mention of it. Problems for another night, she thought, as another source of allomancy appeared to her bronze senses.
A stronger, more familiar source. Zane. Vin hopped up onto the battlements, nodded farewell to Orsure, then jumped out into the night. Mist twisted in the sky, different breezes forming silent streams of white, like rivers in the air. Vin skimmed them, burst through them, and rode them like a bouncing stone cast upon the waters. She quickly reached the place where she and Zane had last parted, the lonely abandoned street. He waited in the center, still wearing black. Vin dropped to the cobbles before him in a flurry of mist-cloaked tassels. She stood up straight.
He never wears a cloak. Why is that?
The two stood opposite one another for a few silent moments. Zane had to know for questions, but he offered no introduction, greeting, or explanation. Eventually, he reached into a pocket and pulled out a coin. He tossed it to the street between them, and it bounced, metal ringing against stone, and came to a stop. He jumped into the air. Vin did likewise, both pushing against the coin. Their separate weights nearly canceled each other out, and they shot up and back like the two arms of a V. Zane spun, throwing a coin behind him. It slammed against the side of a building, and he pushed, throwing himself toward Vin. Suddenly she felt a force slam against her coin pouch, threatening to toss her back down to the ground.
"What is the game tonight, Zane?" she thought, even as she yanked the tie on her pouch, dropping it free from her belt.
She pushed against it, and it shot downward, forced by her weight. When it hit the ground, Vin had the better upward force. She was pushing against the pouch from directly above, while Zane was only pushing from the side. Vin lurched upward, streaking past Zane in the cool night air, then threw a weight against the coins in his own pocket. Zane began to drop. However, he grabbed the coins, keeping them from ripping free, and pushed down on her pouch. He froze in the air, Vin pushing him from above, his own pushing forcing him upward. And because he stopped, Vin's push suddenly threw her backward. Vin let go of Zane and allowed herself to drop. Zane, however, didn't let himself fall. He pushed himself back up into the air, then began to bound away, never letting his feet touch rooftops or cobblestones.
"He tried to force me to the ground," Vin thought. "First one to fall loses, is that it?"
Still tumbling, Vin spun herself in the air. She retrieved her coin pouch with a careful pull, then threw it down toward the ground and pushed herself upward. She pulled the pouch back into her hand even as she flew, then jumped after Zane, pushing recklessly through the night, trying to catch up. In the darkness, Luthadel seemed cleaner than it did during the day. She couldn't see the ash-stained buildings, the dark refineries, the haze of smoke from the forges. Around her, the empty keeps of the old high nobility watched like silent monoliths. Some of the majestic buildings had been given to lesser nobles, and others had become government buildings. The rest, after being plundered at Ellen's command, lay unused, their stained glass windows dark, their vaultings, statues, and murals ignored. Vin wasn't certain if Zane purposefully headed to Keep Hastings, or if she simply caught up to him there. Either way, the enormous structure loomed as Zane noticed her proximity and turned, throwing a handful of coins at her. Vin pushed against them tentatively. Sure enough, as soon as she touched them, Zane flared steel and pushed harder. If she'd been pushing hard, the force of his attack would have thrown her backward. As it was, she was able to deflect the coins to her sides. Zane immediately pushed against her coin pouch again, throwing himself upward along one of Keep Hastings' walls. Vin was ready for this move as well. Flaring pewter, she grabbed the pouch in a two-handed grip and ripped it in half. Coins sprayed beneath her, shooting toward the ground under the force of Zane's push. She selected one and pushed herself, gaining lift as soon as it hit the ground. She spun, facing upward, her tin-enhanced ears hearing a shower of metal hit the stones far below. She'd still have access to the coins, but she didn't have to carry them on her body. She shot up toward Zane, one of the keep's outer towers looming in the mists to her left. Keep Hastings was one of the finest in the city. It had a large tower at the center, tall, imposing, wide, with a ballroom at the very top. It also had six smaller towers rising equidistant around the central structure, each one connected to it by a thick wall. It was an elegant, majestic building. Somehow she suspected that Zane had sought it out for that reason. Vin watched him now, his push losing power as he got too far from the coin anchor below. He spun directly above her, a dark figure against a shifting sky of mist, still well below the top of the wall. Vin yanked sharply on several coins below, pulling them into the air in case she needed them. Zane plummeted toward her. She reflexively pushed against the coins in his pocket, then realized that was probably what he'd wanted. It gave him lift while forcing her down. She let go as she fell, and she soon passed the group of coins she'd pulled into the air. She pulled on one, bringing it into her hand. then pushed on another, sending it sideways into the wall. Vin shot to the side. Zane whooshed by her in the air, his passing churning the mists. He soon bobbed back up, probably using a coin from below, and flung a double handful of coins straight at her. Vin spun, again deflecting the coins. They shot around her, and she heard several pling against something in the mists behind her. Another wall. She and Zane were sparring between a pair of the keep's outer towers. There was an angled wall to either side of them, with the central tower just a short distance in front of them. They were fighting near the tip of an open-bottomed triangle of stone walls. Zane shot toward her. Vin reached out to throw her weight against him, but realized with a start he was no longer carrying any coins. He was pushing on something behind her, though, the same coin Vin had slammed against the wall with her weight. She pushed herself upward, trying to get out of the way, but he angled upward as well. Zane crashed into her, and they began to fall. As they spun together, Zane grabbed her by the upper arms, holding his face close to hers. He didn't seem angry, or even very forceful. He just seemed calm.
"This is what we are, Vin," he said quietly.
Wind and mist whipped around them as they fell, the tassels of Vin's mist cloak writhing in the air around Zane.
"Why do we play their games? Why do you let them control you?"
Vin placed her hand lightly against Zane's chest, then pushed on the coin that had been in her palm. The force of the push lurched her free of his grip, flipping him up and backward. She caught herself just a few feet from the ground, pushing against fallen coins, throwing herself upward again. She passed Zane in the night and saw a smile on his face as he fell. Vin reached downward, locking onto the blue lines extending toward the ground far below, then flared iron and pulled against all of them at once. Blue lines zipped around her, the coins rising and rising, shooting past the surprised Zane. She pulled a few choice coins into her hands.
"Let's see if you can stay in the air now," Vin thought with a smile, pushing outward, spraying the other coins away into the night.
Zane continued to fall. Vin began to fall as well. She threw a coin to each side, then pushed. The coins shot into the mists, flying toward the stone walls to either side. Coins slapped against stone, and Vin lurched to a halt in the air. She pushed hard, holding herself in place, anticipating a pull from below.
"If he pulls, I pull too," she thought. "We both fall, and I keep the coins between us in the air. He'll hit the ground first."
A coin shot past her in the air.
"What? Where did he get that?"
She'd been sure that she'd pushed away every coin below. The coin arced upward through the mists, trailing a blue line visible to her Allomancer's eyes. It crested the top of the wall to her right. Vin glanced down just in time to see Zane slow, then lurch upward, pulling on the coin that was now held in place atop the wall by the stone railing. He passed her with a self-satisfied look on his face.
"Show off."
Vin let go of the coin to her left while still pulling to her right. She lurched to the left, nearly colliding with the wall before she threw another coin at it. She pushed on this one, throwing herself upward into the right. Another coin sent her back upward to the left, and she continued to bounce between the walls, back and forth, until she crested the top. She smiled as she twisted in the air. Zane, hovering in the air above the wall's top, nodded appreciatively as she passed. She noticed that he'd grabbed a few of her discarded coins.
"Time for a little attack myself," Vin thought.
She slammed a push against the coins in Zane's hand, and they shot her upward. However, Zane was still pushing against the coin on the wall top below, and so he didn't fall. Instead, he hung in the air between the two forces, his own push forcing him upward, Vin's push forcing him downward. Vin heard him grunt in exertion, and she pushed harder. She was so focused, however, that she barely saw him open his other hand and push a coin up toward her. She reached out to push against it, but fortunately his aim was off, and the coin missed her by a few inches. Or perhaps it didn't. Immediately the coin zipped back downward and hit her in the back. Zane pulled on it forcefully, and the bit of metal dug into Vin's skin. She gasped, flaring pewter to keep the coin from cutting through her. Zane didn't relent. Vin gritted her teeth, but he weighed much more than she did. She inched down toward him in the night, her push straining to keep the two of them apart, the coin digging painfully into her back.
"Never get into a raw pushing match, Vin," Kelsier had warned her. "You don't weigh enough. You'll lose every time."
She stopped pushing on the coin in Zane's hand. Immediately she fell, pulled by the coin on her back. She pushed on it slightly, giving herself a little leverage, then threw her final coin to the side. It hit at the last moment, and Vin's push scooted her out from between Zane and his coin. Zane's coin snapped him in the chest, and he grunted. He had obviously been trying to get Vin to collide with him again. Vin smiled, then pulled against the coin in Zane's hand.
"Give him what he wants, I guess."
He turned just in time to see her slam feet first into him. Vin spun, feeling him crumple beneath her. She exulted in the victory, spinning in the air above the wall walk. Then she noticed something, several faint lines of blue disappearing into the distance. Zane had pushed all of their coins away. Desperately, Vin grabbed one of the coins and pulled it back. Too late, however. She searched frantically for a closer source of metal, but all was stone or wood. Disoriented, she hit the stone wall walk, tumbling amid her mist cloak until she came to a halt beside the wall's stone railing. She shook her head and flared tin, clearing her vision with a flash of pain and other senses. Surely Zane hadn't fared better. He must have fallen as... Zane hung a few feet away. He'd found a coin, Vin couldn't fathom how, and was pushing against it below him. However, he didn't shoot away. He hovered above the wall top, just a few feet in the air, still in a half-tumble from Vin's kick. As Vin watched, Zane rotated slowly in the air, hand outstretched beneath him, twisting like a skilled acrobat on a pole. There was a look of intense concentration on his face, and his muscles, all of them, arms, face, chest, were taut. He turned in the air until he was facing her. Vin watched with awe. It was possible to push just slightly against a coin, regulating the amount of force with which one was thrown backward. It was incredibly difficult, however. So difficult that even Kelsier had struggled with it. Most of the time, Mistborn simply used short bursts. When Vin fell, for instance, she slowed herself by throwing a coin and pushing against it briefly, but powerfully, to counteract her momentum. She'd never seen an Allomancer with as much control as Zane. His ability to push slightly against that coin would be of little use in a fight. It obviously took too much concentration. Yet there was a grace to it, a beauty to his movements that implied something Vin herself had felt. Allomancy wasn't just about fighting and killing. It was about skill and grace. It was something beautiful. Zane rotated until he was upright, standing in a gentleman's posture. Then he dropped to the wall walk, his feet slapping quietly against the stones. He regarded Vin, who still lay on the stones, with a look that lacked contempt.
"You are very skilled," he said, "and quite powerful."
He was tall, impressive.
"Like Kelsier."
"Why did you come to the palace today?" she asked, climbing to her feet.
"To see how they treated you? Tell me, Vin, what is it about Mistborn that makes us, despite our powers, so willing to act as slaves to others?"
"Slaves?" Vin said. "I'm no slave." Zane shook his head.
"They use you, Vin. Sometimes it's good to be useful. Those words are spoken of insecurity."
Vin paused, then she eyed him. "Where did you get that coin, at the end? There were none nearby." Zane smiled, then opened his mouth and pulled out a coin. He dropped it to the stones with a pling. Vin opened her eyes wide.
"Metal inside a person's body can't be affected by another Allomancer. That's such an easy trick. Why didn't I think of it? Why didn't Kelsier think of it?"
Zane shook his head.
"We don't belong with them, Vin.
We don't belong in their world. We belong here, in the mists.
I belong with those who love me, Vin said.
Love you? Zane asked quietly. Tell me, do they understand you, Vin? Can they understand you? And can a man love something he doesn't understand?
He watched her for a moment. When she didn't respond, he nodded to her slightly, then pushed against the coin he had dropped moments before, throwing himself back into the mists. Vin let him go. His words held more weight than he probably understood. We don't belong in their world. He couldn't know that she'd been pondering her place, wondering whether she was noblewoman, assassin, or something else. Zane's words then meant something important. He felt himself to be an outsider, a little like herself. It was a weakness in him, certainly. Perhaps she could turn him against Straff. His willingness to spar with her, his willingness to reveal himself, hinted at that much. She breathed in deeply of the cool mist air, her heart still beating quickly from the exchange. She felt tired, yet alive, from fighting someone who might actually be better than she was. Standing in the mists atop the wall of an abandoned keep, she decided something. She had to keep sparring with Zane.